Woo, I'm excited today. And I am really excited. And thank you for, again, all the birthday wishes. So, all right, now I'm going to share with you some things today that you may or may not like. I'm going to believe by faith that you're going to like it. But I know that there'll be some of you that probably won't like it. So how many will just give me about 45 minutes to share with you 25 points? You know what they say about homiletics or preaching? 2 to 3 points. All right, I'm blowing that right out the window. I got 25 points this morning. And I'm not kidding. Look at somebody and say, I hope he's kidding. Okay, this is an important word. But you understand what's happening in our generation. There are two cultural pressings or alterations that are taking place. Two cultural alterations. And I want you to get this in your heart. Number one is we're being pressed culturally by a changing thought pattern about morality. Morality is changing the way we think. And if somebody, one of the ushers, can turn off that super duper loud blower up there, that'd be great because it's annoying me. And I'm trying to talk over it, and it's one of those deals. By the way, we only have like a few years left on our lease. And more than likely, we're looking for another place because we're not going to renew here. You say, well, where are we going to go? I have no idea. But Jesus does. And if you want to serve on a seek out committee, let me know. Text me or Facebook me or send an email and we'll put you on that committee because we need to start looking now. Before we found this facility, I looked at 33 buildings. And it took me 36 months to find this space. A lot of municipalities don't want people like us in their municipality. But we're coming anyway. So help us. And if you want to serve on that committee, let us know. All are welcome. Okay? All right. So we have this cultural pressing. On the one hand, psychologically, there is a changing immorality that's pressing against the church. In other words, there are no more absolutes. And so we are embracing thought patterns based on the majority of status quo that the church is accepting. And so we're modernizing our thinking. However, on the other side, there are spiritual principles that are being taught as well. And that's through Spiritism or Gnosticism or the revival of New Age, if you will, that's changing or challenging Christian principle or Christian thought. And so because of that, we are redefining what Christianity is. And so my defense in this last part of this series of I'm saved, how I'm saved, and then thirdly today, why I'm saved, I want to present to you because I believe you and I have got to be trained in our thinking to discern the spirit of Jesus Christ over the spirit of a false antichrist. Because there is an antichrist spirit that's in the world right now. And let me just tell you this, I'm going to tell you straight up. The spirit of Antichrist hates you and me. Okay, he hates me, you and me, because the anointing will destroy anything he does. And so he has to somehow destroy the anointing. But how many know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. So I want to go to a scripture in Revelation that not too many people preach on. And I'm just going to go for it. It's in Revelation 22. And the revelation, how many know that the revelation is a revelation of Jesus? John got it. He goes, wow, this is Jesus? So it's the revelation of Jesus. And if you have that scripture, go ahead and put it up. And the reason why it's the revelation of Jesus is because the church, not in the end time prophecy, people always argue over end time prophecy. Look, this is about Jesus and his kingdom. Okay, Revelation is about Jesus and his kingdom. So this is the warning that comes on the tag of the revelation, thank you, that comes on the revelation of who Jesus is. Glory be. All right, this is the warning. He says, I'm looking at the Amplified Bible. I personally solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of this prophecy, the predictions, the consolations, admonitions pertaining to them in this book. If anyone shall, what? Add anything to them. So right away he's telling you, listen, this is the revelation of Jesus. And if anybody adds to this revelation, God will add and lay upon him the plagues and afflictions and calamities that are recorded and described in this book. How many know it's not a good idea to add to the revelation of Jesus, all right? Okay, next verse, verse 19. And if anyone cancels or takes away from the statements of the book of this prophecy, these predictions relating to Christ's kingdom, revelation is a revelation of who Jesus is, his kingdom. He said, don't take away, don't cancel. Anybody that does that, and its speedy triumph together with the you're a little bit too fast. Go back one more. Together with the consolations and admonitions or warnings pertaining to them, then he says this in the next verse. God will cancel and take away from him and his share in the tree of life and in the city of holiness, purity and hallowedness, which are described and promised in this book. So here's what we have. This is incredible. You have the revelation of Jesus. Now you have a warning. Don't take away from it. Don't take away from this revelation. Don't minimize who Jesus is. If you do, you're going to be in big trouble. Okay? Then he says this. Don't add to it. This is the revelation of Jesus. Don't add to it. The kingdom is what it is. We don't need your help. We don't need your interpretations. We don't need your religion and your doctrine and your denominations to add to what I've revealed about Jesus. If you do that, this is not good for you. So this revelation of Jesus is vital that we understand that the gospel, Jesus came preaching the gospel of his kingdom. Understand that. Gospel of his kingdom. He did not come preaching the gospel of denominationalism. All right? Or the gospel of our traditional church. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So he said, don't add to it, don't take away. How are we doing that today? We're doing that in two different dimensions based on our cultural pressures, cultural interpretation. We are taking away from the gospel of the kingdom based on cessationalism thinking. In other words, in the reform of 1517, John Calvin and others introduced the cessation doctrine, which says healing, signs, wonders, gifts, miracles all passed away with the last death of the apostles. So it's not for today. And it's emotionalism. And it's not God. It's not the kingdom. That takes away from the kingdom. The kingdom. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, now you need to believe that, know that, practice it, and preach it. He didn't just come to save you so you can go to heaven someday. He came to save you from your sin and the consequence thereof, and to transfer you, I don't know what's going on, do I need to use the handheld? Would you prefer? Okay. To transfer you and me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's powerful to know. So we woke up this morning, not in the kingdoms of this world, but I woke up, you woke up, in the kingdoms of his son and of his Christ. Hallelujah. So that's vital. However, the cessationists have taken away from the atonement of Jesus. They say that, yes, he died for your sins, but he did not die for your healing. Healing is not for today. And it's not maybe God's will, maybe not God's will. God sometimes sends sickness to teach you something. All of those are erroneous doctrines that take away from the finished work of Christ. So it's a warning in Revelation, the revelation of Jesus and his kingdom. Don't take away from the gospel of this kingdom. Okay? Then adding. You cannot add to this gospel. You and I cannot Christianize Buddhism. Listen to me. Or Mormonism. Yeah, but they're so nice. I mean, they have dietary laws and they eat well and they got family and they love each other. Listen, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. So you can't Christianize. They say, we believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, you believe in Jesus Christ as Lucifer's brother. Let's break it down, okay? But you and I cannot Christianize Buddhism, New Age, esotericism, Gnosticism, Any other form of spiritism? How many have ever heard of Oprah Winfrey? Seriously, how many have ever heard? Let me see your hand. Okay, everybody. She promotes spiritism. How many have ever heard of the book called The Secret? Don't raise your hand if you have a copy. It's spiritism. Now, to introduce Reiki therapy, touch therapy, I've touched on that a few weeks ago, into America, it came from a philosophy that I can't give you all the background, but when it was packaged and introduced to America, the principals knew that in order for the Western mind to adapt to these Reiki concepts, they would have to Christianize it. Because we're not going to accept New Age. You're not going to readily just say, yeah, I want to reach my karma. I want to get into nirvana. I want to have spiritual ecstasy. You're not going to do that. You go to church. But if they could adopt Christian principles into it by saying, we just want to teach you how to heal like Jesus did through the laying on of hands. Then you're going, oh, you mean like Jesus? Yeah, like Jesus. But it's not like Jesus. Okay, so we see you can't Christianize these concepts. And as a church, we're going to have to understand as we get closer to the end time, there's two things. First of all, one is deception that minimizes the advance of the kingdom. The other is to keep people in bondage. Look, Jesus didn't save you to keep you in bondage. Jesus saved you to set you free. And I mean in every area. How many know that when you received Jesus Christ, your old life died? It's no longer I that live, right? So why are you keep resuscitating your old life? Forget it. Dead and buried. Let it go, right? So we see then that Jesus is the only solution or only answer. But here's what we have to do to kind of discern that. Because I really believe in this last hour, the enemy is going to do everything he can to minimize the power of the kingdom and give an alternative that comes from an antichrist spirit. The reason why there's a lot of embracing of this new age philosophy of healing is because the church has neglected the power of God. And a lot of the generation that's younger have walked away from the church because they thought, well, where's the truth of this? Where's the relativity of this? Where's the application of this? I mean, my dad is like weird at home, and then when he gets there on Sunday, he's transformed this amazing deacon and elder that's in charge of the church. And he goes home and he's back into his weirdness. And these young people are like, you know, I've had enough of this. I want the reality of the kingdom. And so as a result, there's been an exploitation of that. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it was on the heels of a great healing of a lame man that they were arrested, Peter and John. And they got this discourse, and then Peter steps up and he says this. He says, there is salvation in and through no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. There's no other alternative. I mean, you can't go to heaven any other way but through the name of Jesus. And you say, well, I know that. I believe that. But there's been an introduction of many Christs. Now, when I was a young convert, I remember reading the scripture where it says, you know, they're going to say the Christ is here or Christ is there. Don't go after him. Don't believe it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I know that Jesus is the only way. But today, more than ever, just like beheadings in the Revelation, we're like, who's going to be beheaded? Today, it's on the headline news every other week. People are being beheaded for their faith. Now, so things are being exposed in this last hour. So we as a people got to be like the sons of Issachar. We need to understand, discern, practice discerning between good and evil, and be able to identify the Spirit of God and the false Antichrist spirit. So there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus, right? So go back to Isaiah 59. Here's the dilemma. God saw on the earth no justice in the streets. This is a vital scripture, especially in light of what we see in Baltimore, Ferguson, every other major city in America where we're seeing injustices served, or at least a sense of injustice served toward people. And people are riding in the street going, we want justice. We want justice. Well, watch this. Here's what the Bible says about Israel in this condition. Prophet Isaiah says it, rebelling against and denying the Lord. turning away from the following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and muttering and moaning from the heart words of falsehood. Just hold that scripture. Rebelling against and denying the Lord. America has rebelled against and denies the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus, as the Son of God. And as a result, there has been speaking, oppression, revolt, and moaning from the hearts, words of falsehood. Look at verse 14. What has happened in the streets of America? Justice is turned backward. And righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God stands far off. Watch this now. For truth has fallen in the street, the city's forum, and uprightness cannot enter the courts of justice. Verse 15. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. So God's looking at Israel at this time, which mirrors America, and it displeased him. He's like, I can't believe this is happening in Baltimore. This displeases me. Because God is a God of justice. But there's been a revolt and a rebellion against his lordship. So all of a sudden now, when you throw off lordship, injustice and revolt and rebellion step in. So America is reaping what it has sown. But thanks be to God, you and I are still here. So we have an antidote. Okay, so did you go to the next scripture? And he saw there was no man. And he wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory. And his own righteousness, having the Spirit without measure, sustained him. In other words, God said, look, I can't find anybody to do this. I'll do it. So Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us. That's incredible. And he came into this world to do what? To serve justice. Justice demanded death. And Jesus died in our stead and served justice so that he can offer us mercy and grace. So when you look at the perils of this generation at this time, this is the hour more than ever. Come on, church. Where you and I need to step up, speak up, and step out and declare Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God who came in power and who is able to heal, save, and deliver. That's what this nation needs to hear. So all of that to say this, let me give you just a few points on whether or not what you're hearing and what you're being taught, young people at school, is compatible with what you believe. We have to be able to discern it. So number one, if you're taking notes, number one, is God a being with whom you can have a relationship? Or is God just a cosmic force? Is God a force or is he a personal God? Well, we believe he's a personal God. We believe in the garden. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. I believe that in worship, God can speak to me. I believe in the middle of a meeting like this, Holy Ghost can come in and make something clear and real that I didn't know before. Can tell me to go do something that I've never done. Meet somebody I've never met. And minister to someone something I never learned myself. He's a personal God. But he's not a force. He's not impersonal. Is number two, is Jesus Christ God and there's none other? Or are there many Christs? Are there many Christs? Are there many enlighteners? Are there many mentors to spirituality? No, we believe there's only one. Now, in the West campus, on your church, it says Jesus is Lord in big letters. And that's not very, I mean, that's pretty controversial today because we're saying Jesus is God. Well, that just settles it. That means your God isn't. Right? There's only one God. Jesus is God. Whoa. Okay, now you've crossed the line. You mess with me now. Okay, we don't want to offend anybody, but Jesus is God. Okay, watch. Number three, are human beings individuals? Are we all one? Now, this is confusing for the body of Christ because it tells us that we are one body. But how many know that we retain our individuality? God has a purpose and destiny, a gifting that's unique to every one of us. Your thumbprint is unique to who you are. Avatar was an attempt to introduce esotericism to this country in regards to that we're all one family. While that may be true in thought, not in principle, and not according to the kingdom. You've been designed according to Psalm 39, and a book has been written about just you. You have a destiny and a purpose, and when we come together, I can maximize your destiny and purpose by my gifting, and your gifting will help maximize my purpose and destiny. We need each other, but we are all uniquely designed by our Creator in heaven. Hallelujah. God needed a Lou, so He created me. And there's nobody like me. And guess what? There's no one like you. Look at the neighbor next to you and say, you are unique. But Spiritism would say we are all the same. That is not true. We have a mission to carry out. All right, number four. Do we save ourselves, or is salvation a gift from God? Of course, it's a gift from God. But Spiritism, esotericism, Gnosticism, Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age, all say you can save yourself through enlightenment, through knowledge. I'll get to that in a minute. Number six, do we deny the reality of sin? You know, what makes New Agers really angry with kingdom people is we believe in moral absolutes. And they believe those moral absolutes are what preventing the universe from coming into oneness with the cosmic force. So here's their agenda. Destroy the church. And make no mistake about it. The agenda of that philosophy is not to be compatible with Christianity. It is to destroy it. Because it is what's preventing them from coming in to oneness and enlightenment with the cosmic force of the universe. Because they don't believe there is sin. There are no moral absolutes. It's a lack of education. You're just dumb. And if you got smarter, you'd realize it's not sin. You just need to be educated. And the church is keeping you dumb. I'm helping us understand your children and my children and my grandchildren are being taught this very subtly in our education program. And there is a cultural shift on both sides of the issue, in the natural and in spirit. But we'll get to the victorious side in just a moment. Number seven, are we encouraged to reject and accept or reject or accept suffering and tribulation? All right? New Age says you can create your own reality in your mind. In this world you shall have tribulation. I wish I could tell you, if you got saved today, you'll never have another problem the rest of your life. But that would be a lie. But Jesus said this, in tribulation, be of good cheer. I overcame them all. So you stick with me and we got this. All right? New Age teaches there is no tribulation and there is no suffering. It's only as a result of failure to be enlightened. Suffering, not in the sense of pain, suffering in the Bible is always persecution. Persecution is what the Bible terms suffering. Jesus paid for our pains and our sicknesses. But we will be persecuted, all right? So there's a difference. Number eight, is social responsibility encouraged or ignored? Story of two missionaries. I think I told you about it. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Can I do this again? Two missionaries in India see a man in a ditch. They come back from their trip. They see him in the ditch. They get out of their car, offer him water and aid. The whole village riots, starts throwing rocks at them, and says, don't do that. And they go, what are you doing? We're just trying to help this poor man out. No, no, no. You are interrupting his karma. It is his judgment for something he's done in his past life. We must never interrupt the karma of an individual. They're like, are you serious? Here's the sentiment in our nation and among many churches. Others' problems are not ours, and we shouldn't get involved. America's no longer the world's policeman. Our political system is changing in its ideology, in the fact that when Nepal has 7,000 people die in an earthquake, we should immediately dispatch help. Church should take offerings. We should go. We should pray about it. We should do everything we can. Why? Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me. We have a social responsibility to the hurting of our generation. That's why I got involved in heroin. I mean, I'm not taking heroin, but yeah. Hope over heroin. I don't know anything about heroin, but I do know the pain of a mother who has to bury her son. And I have to do something. I have to do something to reach out the people that are in this community that are starving or without clothes. You say, why do we have a food pantry? Because they're hungry. Why do you want to feed them? Jesus said, when you feed them, you fed me. The young man that had heroin overdosed and then Narcan reversed it, went to prison. We've already dispatched the prison ministry to minister to him. Why? You say, well, it's his fault. If he had not taken heroin, good for him. That's his. What you sow, you reap, the Bible says. Stop it. You don't know what philosophy and mind you're of. We have a responsibility to this nation and to the poorest of the poor or the richest of the rich. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter how they've acted. Grace and mercy was offered to you. Grace and mercy needs to be offered to them. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. We've got to be dispatched. Dispatched to the hurting. As soon as I saw about the earthquake, I'm like, God, do you want me to get on a plane? What am I going to do? I don't even know anybody. What should I do? Do I just pass out water? Do I just walk through the streets and pray? What do I do? New Age says we have no responsibility for the plight of others. You're interrupting their karma. And the sentiments in your Congress are now saying America doesn't need to get involved. You're wrong. God will. Why in the world is no one saying anything about Christians being beheaded? Would you just tell me that? Doesn't matter if they're Muslims being beheaded. Why aren't we saying anything about it? Why doesn't it bother us? Why doesn't it move us as a nation? It's like Nazi Germany all over again. Nobody's saying anything. Why doesn't it bother us as a church? When a young man can die in the back of a van, why doesn't it move us to do something? Why doesn't it call a summit of church leaders to get the mind of the Lord, a prophetic word, words of knowledge and prophecy to declare to a city? Where are we? We're being seduced by a cultural shift that says it's not our problem. It is our problem. I can't talk too much about that. All right, let me go on. Do we practice prayer and meditation and talking to ourselves, a force, or to a personal God? Here's the song. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. We sang it. God is a personal God. They say he's not, and he's not a loving father. He is a loving father. The father's love is an important aspect of your and my identity. You take away the father's love and a personal God, we have no identity. We're like a bunch of little kids without a father. Come on. All right, number 10. Is our future in the stars? Or do we believe God has a purpose and destiny for us? Absolutely, we believe God has a purpose and destiny. Stop reading your horoscope and quit going to Chinese restaurants to read the little thing inside the cookie. That's not God's way. I mean, you can read it, but that... Oh, praise God. Look what I just got. Woo! No, 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 no. Your destiny's not in that cookie. Come on. Your destiny's in the Word of God. Amen? Oh, Lord. Okay, this past week, and I got to tell you how proud I am of you. Some of you weren't here in 2002. Actually, none of you were here in 2002. But in 2002, God moved on us to give about $15,000 to Faith in Action, Reverend Rob Shank, missionary to Washington, D.C. And we gave them that money to establish a prayer garden behind his office. His office is located, how many of the students went to Washington, D.C. on the prayer tour? There you go. You guys were there? You were at his office. And we established that. You were there, right, Deborah? Okay. And we gave the money, and now he has a garden behind his place where congressmen, senators come to pray during the day. And our team was there. Rob Shank talked to them. And in the front of their building, which is right across the street from the Supreme Court. You know where that Supreme Court justices meet? Where they convene, they look out the window, and guess what they see? His office. It's right across the street. In the front of his office, he put up the tablets of Moses. Well, they made him take them down. Washington, D.C., you said, you're not allowed to do that. That's a monument. You're not allowed to have it in Washington. We helped him fight that, sewed into it. Guess what? They're there now. Did you guys see him? You saw it, right? They're standing there. Whoo, glory to God. Right in Washington, D.C., the Ten Commandments. Why is that important? Because on Friday, when the justices convened, I won't step on you. When the justices convened, they look out the window and see Rob's office. And they see the Ten Commandments, God's law represented. And so what they did on Friday is they all got out there in their blue suits and a red sash and prayed behind the Ten Commandments so that if the justices would look out the window while they're making a decision on the Federal Marriage Act to define whether or not marriage is between a man and a woman, or to redefine it and it's between a woman and a woman and a man and a man. They would look out the window and see God's commandment and pastors praying to God as a silent witness. It's amazing. You helped to make that a reality. Well, yeah, the church did. You weren't here, but you were in the glimmer of our eye. Do you know that if it's passed, it becomes federal law? 36 states in America have recognized gay marriage. 16 do not. Ohio is one that does not. However, it's on the benchmark to change that. But that's not even the issue here. It's a bigger issue than that. If it is passed, churches are going to be mandated to perform these weddings. Or you break the law, which means you either go to prison, pay a fine, or both, and get arrested. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm in the jail? Huh? Come on. And that's not even the deal. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know how many gay marriage certificates there are in America? How many couples have actually been registered and married in America? Does anybody have any idea? Okay, 300,000. You say, wow, that's a lot. No, but it's only 0.03% of America's population. No, 0.03%. You say, well, that's not very many. How do they get so much publicity? How come they're always on every talk show? How come every pundit has to ask a question of a political leader what their stance on it or how they define marriage? How is it that it's become forefront and forecasted on everybody's mind? Because of a cultural shift. But let me introduce you to a silent shift that nobody knows about. There are over 800, some estimate as high as 1 million nurses in America who have been Reiki mentored and trained and touch therapist trained in our medical facilities. That's three times the amount of registered gay marriages in America, and nobody even talks about that. Now, why is that important? Because in order to be Reiki certified, you have to have a Reiki master that is able to connect you with the force in the universe through chandra points, if I'm saying it correctly, the seven major in your body, to touch with the four magnetic force fields in your life and connect it to the universe power so you can be empowered to bring healing to people. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't oppose or support, rather, marriage as one a man and one woman. That's how marriage has been defined. Chief Justice Roberts said for millennia, you're asking us to redefine what for millennia has been defined as marriage between a man and a woman. You're asking us to redefine what's been established for thousands of years into a change of definition. But here, seriously, church, more seriously is this, the indictment on the church. Put up my slide. How sad. How sad has it been that we have got to go outside of our faith to operate in healing? Can I pray in the Holy Ghost? Oh, Ramashia Baratora Mashikara Lama Sonda. And a lot of these nurses are Christians. They go to church. And they're being deceived and seduced by a spirit. And where is the church bringing the power of healing and deliverance? Why are we laying hands on the sick and watching them recover? Glory be to God. It's a sad day. Where almost a million have been mentored by these demonic spirits to bring healing. And Satan will produce healings. Time to talk about that. But church, this is a day when you and I have got to shake ourselves. We have to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? I can't allow this to happen. Not in my city, not on my watch. This generation deserves an encounter with the living God. A God that saves, heals, and delivers. A God that is good all the time. A God that is interested in who you are, where you're going, and what you're going to do. And not give in to the sentiments of the cultural persuasions of this day. Okay, I'm going to try and finish up in the next couple minutes. But I've got 15 more points. You all right, Mark? 15. Ooh. Because, listen, if what I just shared with you is not compatible to your faith, you're in the wrong faith. This is the day we've got to adjust. We've got to say, God, I'm coming home. I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. I'm going full throttle, God. I'm going to make some dust in this place. I'm going to do this for Jesus. Everywhere I go, people are going to know who I am. So I tell them, we are the blood-bought, Holy Ghost blood-bought. Come on, you're going to encounter me, you're going to get Jesus. Foundations of our belief. I believe, therefore I speak. Number one, the doctrine of creation. Spiritism doesn't believe in a creation. They believe that it's always existed. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds all things by the word of his power. God upholds all things by the word of his power. The universe, the stars are in their sockets. The planets are in their orbits. You're on this planet today not spinning off into the atmosphere because God created gravity to hold us still. He upholds all things by the word of his power. We believe in the doctrine of creation. Spiritism says there was no creation. Matter always existed. There is not one God, but there are many gods. They believe in pantheism. We believe there's only one God. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. Number two, the doctrine of God's nature. We believe he's a personal God. They say he's non-personal. They also say this, evil exists in God. God is not evil. God is good. The goodness of God, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. God's not trying to punish or kill anybody. We believe in the doctrine of time. How does that differ from Spiritism? Linear and cyclical. Why is that important? You and I need to get that. We believe in linear time. In other words, we're born and we die. But when we're born again, we will never die. We are born and we are in a linear projection to discover our destiny and our purpose. Did you know the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter day by day? Woo-hoo! I'm becoming more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. Why? Because I'm moving on with Him. However, Spiritism believes in cyclical. If you mess up this week, this year, you die and you come back and be reincarnated to do it all over again and try better next time. They believe in cyclical. We believe in linear. We believe we're going somewhere. We believe the church is on a mission. We believe in the consummation of all things. We believe God's got a plan. And He's raising up a generation to operate in that plan. Hallelujah. And you and I get to operate in that plan. Whoa, can you think about that? God saved you to empower you. A doctrine of humanity. We believe that humans are born with a free will. Spiritism believes that in karma. And it dictates will. Karma dictates will. Que sera, whatever it will be, will be. But we believe our will, coupled in agreement, in compliance with God's will, gives us the victory every time. Number six, the doctrine of salvation. We believe that forgiveness was birthed at the cross of Jesus Christ. When His blood was shed, payment was given for sin. Of course, I don't believe in sin. And they hate you for believing in absolutes and sin. Therefore, how would they ever embrace the cross? Come on. You see, here's the challenge we have. We're either embracing truth or we're reinventing. Or we're inventing truth. Joseph Smith invented a truth. When Moroni or whatever angel came and gave him a revelation of the next gospel. That is an invention of truth. Come on, church. Don't invent truth based on your culture, based on the occult. Embrace the truth of God's eternal word. Whew, man, when you embrace it, you can't go wrong with embracing truth. Come on, Patty, what did you say to me the other day in that dream? You could take that Bible out of my hand, but you can't take it out of my heart. Come on, you can't take the word out of my heart. I know whom I have believed in. Amen? Come on. I believe in the doctrine of Jesus' incarnation. Talking about the doctrine of salvation. They believe in knowing truth. Knowing truth is what brings you into oneness with the universe. It's Gnosticism. Doctrine of Jesus' incarnation. I believe in the historical, actual birth of Christ. God with us. He was born in Bethlehem. He's from Nazareth. Do you ever notice the Bible says Jesus Christ of Nazareth? If you tell me there's a Christ on the earth, I'm going to say, where's He from? If He ain't from Nazareth, honey, talk to the hand because this ain't listening. I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can go to the Father but through Him. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about all this stuff for? I mean, we believe in Jesus. I'm just helping you. See, when I was called to ministry a long time ago, I went to Bible college and I was scared. I was scared that I wouldn't graduate. Jesus would come back and I'd never get to preach. I'm serious. We went May 21st, I think it was, 1977. Went to Bible college. Our kids are 1 year old, 2 year old, and 3 year old. We had a van, sold all our stuff. went to Florida, enrolled at Bible college, and I said, how long is this going to take me? They said, well, it's a four-year degree. It's a bachelor of whatever it was. I'm like, 4 years? I'll never get out of Bible college. Jesus is coming back. Guess what? 40 years later, I'm still here. Well, so I finished a four-year degree in 2.5 years. I took 18 to 20 credit hours every semester. I doubled up in the summer. I went to my Bible school and I went to the community colleges. I said, I got to hurry. I got to wait on Jesus. I only got 4 classes left. But can I tell you, I woke up this morning with the same urgency in my heart that by December, you may never experience or celebrate Christmas again on this earth. God may come through the eastern sky, split it wide open. We may see the return of the Son of the Living God. This thing may come to an end. And whatever you're going to do for Christ, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait on it, man. Get fired up for God. Do it now. All right, doctrine of lordship. I already talked about that. I'm way truth and life. They believe that one, there's many. Doctrine of resurrection. We believe in a celestial body. Not only a terrestrial body, but a celestial body. We're going to know each other in heaven. Good God, that's going to be weird. Why is that going to be weird? Because if I don't make it right with you before we get there, I do not want to run into you on heaven's highway and go, oh man, you and I had aught against each other. I don't want to be shying away from you. There she is. I don't want her to see me. Good God. We believe that we're going to go to heaven. We're going to know each other. Jesus in his celestial glorified body, he ate fish. How many are glad we're going to be able to eat in the celestial body? Hallelujah. You know you like to eat. Come on. Everybody likes to eat. But we're going to recognize each other. We're going to know each other. However, Spiritists, they don't believe in a celestial body. They don't believe that we're going to have that kind of an existence. They believe in nirvana. In other words, we're going to come to this euphoric state of total peace. In other words, complete enlightenment. Heaven is a real place, church. Doctrine of judgment. This is where the shouts and the hallelujahs kind of subside a little bit. But there is a doctrine of judgment in the kingdom. Not that we are going to be judged for our sin, because Christ was judged for us at Calvary. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say amen, right? However, there is a bema judgment of Jesus. And at that bema judgment, we're going to be judged for our works. Works? Yeah. They're either going to be wood, hay, or stubble, or they're going to be precious stones, gold, and silver. I personally believe your works of precious stones, gold, and silver are going to be in the refiner's fire, and they're going to be like formed into little crowns that you can cast at his feet in worship. And some of us are going to have crowns the size of a thimble on your little pinky. And when you cast them at his feet, it's going to go ding, 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 ding. And others of you are going to go, hey, I need some help over here. Help me with this crown. Boom, boom, boom. And you're going to throw it at Jesus. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Heave. I want to be somewhere in between. But I don't want a thimble crown. I believe there's going to be a big bonfire at the beam of judgment. There's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. But just, hey, good news. We can make the adjustment right now. Right now. Can change your lifestyle. You can change your priorities. You can give it all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. All right. Doctrine of what? Second coming. Did I talk about that one? Yeah, I did. Doctrine of heaven. Did I talk about that? No, I didn't talk about any of those. All right. What did I talk about? Doctrine of the resurrection. Doctrine of the second coming. To establish his kingdom. I think I talked about the doctrine of judgment. Yeah, I jumped over a bunch of them. All right. To establish his kingdom. The doctrine of the second coming. He's going to establish his kingdom. But friends, let me tell you something. This morning when I got up, I said, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I'm learning something. I can't go anywhere and do anything. God, you've wrecked me. I've got to tell somebody about the kingdom of his Christ and of his Lord. I've got to tell them the good news. Slam me, slime me, do what you want. It doesn't matter. That's not the issue. The issue is you can't leave my presence without knowing God's a good God. Tina, I got this new word. She was reading a book. She said, you know what maven means? I said, no. I said, what does it mean? She goes, dazzlingly skillful in all that you do. I'm using that. I was at the bank yesterday. I was making a deposit, and the girl was really professional. How can we put you, you know, first at our bank? And is there anything else I can do to help you? And she was really efficient, you know. I said, wow, you're maven. She looked at me like, okay, is that good? I said, no, it's good. I said, you know what it means? She goes, no. I said, you want me to tell you? She said, yeah. That would be very nice. Thank you. She's being real professional. I said, it means dazzlingly skillful in all you do. You're maven. She said, shut up. She came out of her professionalism. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I said, and more than that, God thinks you're amazing. And he's got a place for you in his kingdom. And I saw her little name tag and I said, whatever her name was, Angela or something. Angela, do you know Jesus loves you? You maven person, you. We've got to begin to talk about the kingdom. Establish the kingdom. Everywhere you go, and don't do it with arrogance. You and I are not any better than anybody else. But for the grace of God. Come on, somebody. But for God's mercy this morning, huh? You could have woke up in an insane asylum and didn't even know who you were. You could have woke up in the third jail cell down to the left, huh? With a sentence for 20 years. And you think, what did I do? How did I get here? You could have woke up in an addicted state. You could have woke up with somebody stolen all your stuff. You could have woke up abandoned and deserted. But you woke up this morning with your right mind. Thank God you know who you are and that Jesus loves you. And God's got a great plan for your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't make me preach. The doctrine of impartation. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Not silent partners. And the Spiritists believe that you have to come into connection with the force and the power in the universe. Because it's already in you. You just have to connect with it and it'll become bigger and it'll enlighten you into God's status. We believe that the impartation of the Holy Spirit comes on us. There's no power in me and there's no power in you. But for God, his power, his enablement, his ability, his miraculous gift. I have no power in this hand, but honey, let me tell you, if I lay hands on you in Jesus' name, you just might get healed. Watch this. You're oppressed? I'm going to go demon digging. And I'm going to cast out that demon. Not according to my power, not according to my authority, but the authority that he has given me. According to Luke chapter 10 and 19, I have given you all authority. And in my name, what did he say in Mark? You shall cast out devils. Whoo! Come on, get your hand out. Start laying it on people. And bless you. Gah! You don't want me to touch you. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. That was the doctrine of impartation. They believe comes from the universe. All right. One last one, the doctrine of healing. The atonement. They don't believe in Spiritists don't believe in a personal relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. They believe in spirit guides. They believe in attunements, increase of knowledge, oneness of the the model of the oneness of the universe. Folks, we have been given the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, when I think about all the injustice in the earth, tell God I'll be right there. I know that's Him. He's calling me. But all the injustice, this is crooked. There it goes. All the injustice in the earth, all the needs in this community. I look around, I think, God, if we could just connect your people to the kingdom. I mean, it would be so crazy that wherever we go, we release the power of his kingdom. You know, I often wonder about the church, and I think, God, would the people want me as their pastor if I never prayed, read my Bible, or given in the offering? No, you wouldn't want me, but I want you. Because there's many in here that hardly read their Bible. There's many that call themselves Christians and don't even pray. And Lord knows they don't give no money. Come on, just smile back. It was my birthday. Come on, smile. It's no big deal. I'm just talking. Come on, church. What if God raised up a people who were so kingdom-minded that we got up in the morning and said, God, your will be done, not my own. And the most important person in your life switched from you to the one you're in front of at the moment. I told this to this young lady named Sarah. When we met her, I could tell that there was things going on in her life, you know. And I told her that. Oh, thank you. I told her, I said, you are the most important person in our life right now because God put you in front of me. I can't think of anything else, anybody more important than you. She looked at me like I was a little weird. And I said, you know what your name means? It means princess, God's princess. And God has a great plan for your life, and you're Maven. I use the word again. And Tina said, honey, you got a church? You got any place where you go? She goes, nah, I really don't go to church right now. I need to get back in there. And I said, look, sometimes God uses us in miraculous ways. You know, we call on God in prayer, and sometimes God answers crazy prayers. We pray for sick people, they get healed, and all that kind of stuff. I said, is there anything we could pray for you about? She said, yeah, I need prayer. And Sarah, if you're watching, I'm talking about you. She said, yeah, I just need direction in my life. I feel like I'm in a rut. I said, you know, if you can just connect to God's kingdom, connect to Jesus, and you know, in your life, I really think you can get out of this rut. You can find your place, and that's probably why you're there. And I said, look, we're going to pray for you all weekend. We're going to pray for you. So I've been praying for Sarah. Then I met another Sarah the other day. I'm like, well, this is Sarah weekend or something. But there are people there waiting for you and me to engage the kingdom into their life. And there's healing in your hands. This is a prophecy that I received, how many years ago, Tina? 38 years ago, 40 years ago. We were sitting in a congregation of about 5,000 people, and back then that was a lot of people. I was a young Bible college student. I was sitting in about the second row from the back. That means there were like 4,998 people in front of me. And the evangelist was preaching, and he looked like a little 3-inch guy down at the bottom there. And he started looking around and prophesying, and he said, you, that young couple back there, we were young back then. And he said, that young couple right back there, stand up. And I'm like, who's he talking to? And he came walking back, and he goes, you guys, stand up. And T and I stood up, and he pulled us out into the aisleway, prayed for us, and he prophesied. He said, there is healing in your hands. It was an amazing moment. Prayed for us, power of God came on us. And over the years, I've struggled with that prophetic word. I thought, God, you know, I wanted to be used in healing, and then I did sometime, and I pray for some people, and they don't get healed. they die. And you wrestle with that because the agony of defeat hurts. You say, God, where were you? I prayed, and I believed, and They didn't get healed. This doesn't work. And right away, your mind rationalizes and you get logical. And then others in the kingdom who are cessationists who have taken away from the gospel come to you and say, well, it's not for today. That's why. You know? And if it's God's will, it must not have been God's will. And you just missed it. I'm like, oh, stop. And I struggle inside. I think, God, I need to know, is this real or not? And I've visited and revisited and left it and visited over the last 40 years of ministry. And recently, again, the last couple of years, God spoke to me and he said, this is the destiny of that prophecy and it's now. There's healing in your hands, so release it. But I don't believe it's just for me because you all come to the church and I'm with you. And so I think it's for us. And so I'm just going to pray this morning. Can I do that for a release of healing out of your hands into those that you would pray for? All right, can we do that? Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to dismiss. And I believe some people are going to get healed in here this morning because we're just going to release you. And I tried to do that earlier, and I don't know how many of us engage in it, but I really believe there's some healing power in this room that you're going to pray for some people that need healing. And those that are going to need healing are going to raise their hand in a minute, and you're going to go to them. You're going to pray for them. They're going to get healed. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. So right now, Father, we just present our hands to you. This prophetic word that was given nearly 40 years ago. You said there was healing in our hands. God, according to your word, you said you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So now I'm praying, Father, not only a recovery of the sick, but a recovery of the prophetic utterance. A recovery of the kingdom principle. A recovery, O God, of our passion. A recovery, O God, of our persuasion. A recovery, O God, of the fact that God is good all the time. A recovery, O God, that the kingdom of God is nigh and even in our mouth. A recovery, O God, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A recovery, O God, for such a time as this have you raised up a generation. So, Lord, we present our hands to you. Our hands, God, symbolically as surrender, but Lord, as instruments of righteousness, as instruments, God, to be used to deliver, be used to bring healing, be used, oh God, to set prisoners free. Lord, I thank you that this house will be a house of miracles. It'll be a house of signs and wonders. It'll be a house of celebration, jubilation, a house of joy, great joy. Hallelujah. Let it be released in this room today. Thank you, Father, for visions and dreams. Young men and old men, your handmaidens, oh God. Our children, our children's children, prophesying, oh Father. Operating in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, like a forceful army, we'll leave this room. We'll go out into the highways and byways and Burger King and Starbucks. And we'll bring the kingdom of God in power and in love like we've never done before, Father. Father, let this be a commissioning today that we know what we believe and we stand true to the prophetic revelation of who Jesus is in this generation. We'll not back up and we'll not back down. But God, we are your servants, called by your name, anointed for such a moment and an hour as this. Thank you, God, that you're raising up mighty generals of the faith. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I sense some generals in this room right now. Come on, I want you to receive your stripes and receive your bars. Receive your commission from God. Receive the anointing of God to do great works in his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I believe it, Father. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my heart. I feel it all over, God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that this house is a house of power, house of greatness, God, not because of any one of us, but because of you. Oh, it's only you, God. We're just your servants. We're just the mailman. You're the letter writer. And we're just delivering the message. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done, God, in our lives, our family, our children. Lord, we claim our children to be prophetesses and prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers. Raise them up, God, powerful in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of this age and say this world cannot have our children, but our children are marked for God. Yeah, they are. They're marked for God. So this morning you need deliverance. You need healing. I believe if you're addicted, you know, some people say, well, can I smoke and go to heaven? Look, don't ask me that. I say, why give $5 to the tobacco company every time you buy a pack? Give it to Jesus. So that's a good reason not to smoke, right? You say, well, can a Christian drink alcohol and go to heaven? Don't ask me that. Give the money that you would have sent to Budweiser or some other wino place and give it to Jesus. So this morning you say, Pastor, I'm addicted. See, some of us think that only heroin people are addicted. How many know all of us are addicted to something? And the biggest addiction is self. So this morning you need deliverance. I need deliverance. You need healing in your body. Let's go for healing first. Healing in your body. Physical pain anywhere in your body. Just hold your hand up. Come on, do it right now. Now the rest of the church, there's something in your hands. We just prayed, so go release it. Come on. Get to find somebody with their hand up. Go pray for them. Find somebody with their hand up and go pray for them. Come on. Release it. Activate it right now. Yeah, activate it right now. In Jesus' name, activate it right now. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. There's people with hands up that don't have anybody praying with them. Some up here in the front. Anywhere else? Yeah, they're praying. Okay. You still need somebody to pray for you? Wave your hand so I can help somebody get to you. If you don't have anybody praying, wave your hand so I can see it. Okay, everybody's got somebody? Good. Awesome. Now release your faith. Come on, prophesy, declare, decree. Come in agreement. Cast that thing out. Come on, command pain to leave their body. Come on, sometimes God has to recreate. Sometimes you have to pray for a new heart, new lungs, new eyes, new vertebrae. Come on, not just fix what's there, but give a brand new one for Jesus' name. Woo! Yep. Our Father, that's a good one. Come on, sing it. Go ahead, go ahead. Woo! Come on, keep praying. Come on, keep praying. Release it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Come on, release it.
Your kingdom, all right, comes quickly. On earth be done the same. On earth as it is in heaven, let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven, let heaven come. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come to earth as it is.
Take it. In heaven, hallelujah.
All right.
Now there was a tune that you guys did on Friday night. Something about happy something. What is that song? Happy Sunday or happy day or I don't know. Friday night? Okay, cool, all right, how many know that Jesus makes you happy? Okay, I don't know about you, but I got to get a happy dance. Can we do a happy dance before we leave? Okay, good. Oh, by the way, on the way out, could you give to Benevolence for the Poor? We need to minister to some families. Ushers, can you put a bag up there? $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever. Give your cigarette money to the thing, whatever. Give your vino money to Jesus. But anyway, we're going to celebrate. We want to say, live right, love everybody, pray hard. Make Jesus famous on the earth this week. Come on, church. Give me some worshipers up here. Let's celebrate Jesus. Happy.